Well, hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation today. I have with me here Mr. Mitchell Witt, who I kind of think of as a modern Renaissance man. You know, I've just noticed through the years he seems to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of different subjects. He happens to be a biology teacher and chairman of the science department here at Tocco Plains High School. He also sponsors our Fellowship Christian Athletes Club. Several years ago, he established a Teens for Christ Club here at TPHS, but he's kind of handed that off to another faculty member at this point. Well, actually, I guess Chris Hung is doing that now. He's knowledgeable and well-read in a lot of fields. He's taught at the college level. He's been track and cross-country coach for years. He's worked with the National Forest Service, I'm sure, and he can tell you anything you want to know about gardening and fruit trees. And thanks to Mitchell Witt, my grandkids and I get to enjoy fresh, wonderful, delicious, healthy wild blueberries every summer right off the bushes that grow in our yard now. So I love that. I found out just the other day that once he was state champion in public speaking. That was something I didn't know about. Man, it just goes on and on and on. And I'll also just let you in on this, and I hope he doesn't ruin this interview with this, because he can be maddening. He's kind of the Socrates of Tocco Plains. In other words, he's the question guy. When people ask him questions, he usually answers with another question, and sometimes it drives us crazy. Of course, it makes us think, and that's good stuff. But anyway, today I'll ask the question.
I'll try to restrain myself.
Oh, thank you. I consider him a brilliant guy. Through the years, I've had a lot of students who come to me just kind of with their mouth open and say, "Mr. Hall, Mr. Witt is just a genius. Mr. Witt knows so much. He's brilliant." So he's impressed the students. And I tell you what, I've gone to him over and over. I've been here now for 14 years, I guess going on 15. Right. And I've gone to Mr. Witt time and time again for counsel and wisdom. There's a proverb in the Bible that says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And when I read that verse, I think of Mitchell Witt. He's got wisdom. And those of us who know him well will try to find ways to draw it out if we've got any sense. He loves the kids. He's got a deep love for the kids. I think that's why he's doing this. And God has used him over and over again in the lives of countless number of students here at Tocco Plains High School. So, Mitchell Witt, thanks for being part of the podcast today. I'm glad you're here.
You're welcome, sir. Glad to be here.
Let's start by talking about your relationship with the Lord. Just tell me about, you know, how you got started walking with the Lord, maybe some memorable moments through the years, whatever you want to share.
First of all, thank you for those kind words. I appreciate that. Now, you flatter me. I think I'm really not deserving of a lot of that. But anyway, I thank you for that. I was reared in a family with six kids, and basically have been told by other church members where we went to church that in some ways the church couldn't start until we got there, because we were eight of us, and so we made up, especially with my parents, helped start a Presbyterian church in Chattanooga, and being charter members, they were there in the early days of the church. It's East Ridge Presbyterian in Chattanooga, and that's where I was reared, and just, you know, reared in a Christian family.
So you guys were the core of the church, pretty much.
They would literally wait on us sometimes to start things. I was not a Christian. I mean, I did things, went to church, but I had never really made a decision. I'd even went forward at one time. Mr. Hall probably remembers McCoy Franklin.
Mm-hmm,
he was a pastor in Madisonville for years and years, and he actually held a revival at the church, and I remember going forward. Mm-hmm. But I don't think of that as being a time that I became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I did what was expected of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was actually a senior in college, and a group came from Florence, South Carolina, and they were just coming to the church to tell about themselves and tell about what Christ meant to them. And I saw in this group of college people and young people and young adults, I saw things that I did not have. I saw a relationship that I did not mm-hmm. have. And so the evening, they left on a Sunday, and that Sunday evening, I got up, and I'll never forget, they were asking for people to say what it, you know, witness to mm-hmm. what had had been done that weekend, and I got up and said that at that point I knew that Jesus was mine and I was His.
Amen.
And I'll never forget that. Amen. And that was what I think of as the point that I became a Christian.
Amen. It's really funny, isn't it, how God just kind of works with different ones of us, different ways, different times, but He draws us to Himself and His way. You know, you mentioned the. How old were you when you went forward under McCoy Franklin?
Oh, goodness. I guess probably not more than 13, 14 at the most.
And you felt like then you were just kind of...
I was doing what was expected of me.
Yeah.
It was something that, you know, my parents had said, you know, you sometime need to go do this. And mm-hmm. McCoy Franklin was a good friend of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it that night. Mm-hmm. But it never really meant anything to me. Now, after I became a Christian in my senior year, I was going to go to graduate school at Tennessee Tech. And my prayer to the Lord was that He lead me to people that would help me grow.
Yeah.
And He did. He was faithful to do that.
Yeah.
He led me to people. I remember there was a friend of mine that I met in a wildlife biology class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... that we started a lab project together, and we had to work on together. And he would come to my dorm room, and I went to his house and got to know him good. Mm-hmm. And he was a very strong Christian.
Wow.
And he led me for and mentored me for several years there while I was living in Cookeville at Tennessee Tech. Doug Bates was my friend and my mentor, and he led me to people. I met bunches and bunches of people at the Baptist Student mm-hmm. Union and prayer circles and prayer groups and men and women and young people. And it was just it was to me like a seminary.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I would read, I'd be sitting there in my dorm apartment, and I'd be sitting there and reading the Bible while I was eating or something, just sit there at the table and read. And I'd see Doug Bates coming up the steps, and I could look outside and see him coming. And it was just a time of tremendous growth, a time of experiencing things that I'd never seen before.
Wow.
Charismatic movement was big at that time, and I actually experienced some things from that. And some people have, you know, bad attitudes toward that. Now it's kind of went a little crazy in times. But at that time, a lot of the people that I saw in that were very...
Yeah.
Very devout, very sincere, not off the wall type folks.
Well, I think there's still plenty of those out there.
Oh, I think so too.
They're very, very godly, strong Christians. But of course, I guess every denomination has its group of people who are just not quite real, maybe faking it. In fact, let's go back to the thing you were talking earlier about. I know you weren't really faking it when you were younger. That wouldn't be the right word, but you just did what you expected to do, I think is the way you phrased it. How common a problem do you think that is still?
Oh, tremendous. I think that many times that even kids who say that they are called to preach, I've seen throughout my life many times where people have been called, so-called called to preach, who did not follow through and actually fell away and did not lead a Christian life. Now, not that I am perfect, far from it, that these, if you have something like that, if you have a call that God, and I feel that I've been called to teach, and that if I have that, then one thing, I'm supposed to use it, and second, I'm supposed to grow in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of that, I have to be obedient to God.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that have this call to preach, just like I went forward as a thing expected to do, that they're expected to have a call to preach.
Yeah.
And they begin to get, you know, into the Lord, and they begin to grow in the Lord. And a lot of people in this area, they say, oh, wow, they're getting to know the Lord. Hey, they better go into preaching.
Oh, yeah.
You know, God calls people to be a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Who is His servant. He calls fishermen to be fishermen who is His servant. He called Paul. Yeah. Paul still made tents during the time that he was a missionary.
Good.
He even made a point to his people he went to and say, look, I was not a burden to you.
Right.
I made tents. I went ahead and I did my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so that I wouldn't be a burden to you. So I think God calls us to be many things. We don't have to be a preacher.
Yeah, you're right, though. We live kind of in a, seems like a culture here that if somebody gets excited about the Lord, if a guy gets excited about the Lord, it's almost assumed that he's going to be a preacher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I think we're not being fair to those guys. You know, we're pushing them in a direction that...
They're like babies.
Yeah.
And you throw them out there among the wolves, and what do we expect? We oftentimes see the babies get eaten by the wolves. Yeah.
So is there something we can do to help maybe not let that happen so much? I mean,
I think Billy Graham in many groups, you know, you and I have talked about this many times over the years. There have been various groups, evangelical groups, Evangelism Explosion and other groups that have come forward. And many of those have emphasized the idea of discipleship.
Yeah.
And I think that in the Navigators, for example, have emphasized discipleship. Mm. And I think that's something that we don't do enough of. I know you've talked about taking some people aside, and that Jared has even talked about taking people aside, I believe, just actually trying to mentor them. And I think that's something that's very good. I think if we took these people who are young preachers in calling and mentor them, then I think, honestly, I'll tell you, and I think Chris Hollinhead would be the first to say that when he... while he was here with you, that you were his mentor, and that you mentored him, and I would not be surprised at all if he were to say that you were one instrumental in him going many of the directions he's gone.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think the Lord has used me in His life. Of course, it's been both ways, you know.
Right.
He certainly used Chris in my life too to help me.
And I appreciate you. I mean, I don't know what it would be like here without you. And Chris, we're missing him.
Yeah.
And others are stepping up, but it's a unique situation we have here.
And it's so important. You're right. I mean, we need each other's encouragement. And one of the things I try to, you know, I've got this little spiritual growth CD that I give kids when they trust Jesus. And one of the, I say in there, find two people. Ask God to give you two people. One's a mentor. Look for a mentor. Somebody that's been a Christian a lot longer than you have.
Right.
So that you can learn from them and ask some questions. And when you find something in the Bible you don't understand, you can talk. They may not have the answers either, but at least you've got somebody that's been in the Lord longer than you have that you can talk with. And then I said, find another friend who's kind of where you are. And you can share with them a lot more probably than you will your mentor. But I think that's a really good comment that these young people, we need to mentor them instead of just kind of turning them over to the wolves, you know. I've cringed sometimes when a young man is floundering. He wants to serve the Lord. He seems to be excited about the Lord. And then next thing you know, somebody says, well, you just need to preach, you know, and they'll give him a pulpit. And it just makes me...
And, you know, you and I, in this discussion like that, if we were heard by other people... Yeah. Who really encourage these kids to preach, we would probably be a little bit, maybe not ostracized, but maybe a little bit criticized by the fact of saying, you know, we want them to hold back a little bit, maybe learn some more, grow some more.
Yeah.
And maybe for some people it's okay for them to get up early
maybe.
And do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Others, I think, the majority probably just aren't ready.
Yeah. Well, didn't Paul say something about not making sure you don't appoint a novice? You know, make sure
absolutely.
They've had some time to learn. I heard one preacher say one time, a call to preach is a call to prepare. There's a lot of studying and preparing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think sometimes we cheat people.
Right.
Of course, that gets to one of the things we're trying to do here with the Christian clubs. You know, I appreciate your involvement. In fact, you're the reason I'm involved. When I first came to the school... I'm not trying to make this short, but I remember you and Dan Schlafer walking me down the hall and said, we want you to be the FCA guy. And I thought, no, that doesn't make any sense.
I
said, I've never been a coach and I've never been an athlete. And you said, well, you're a Christian, and that's what we need. And so God put me there for a while. But you want to talk about our Christian clubs a little bit. How important are they to you? Why do you think they're so important?
This morning was a classic example. I mean, we had, six boys there, I think,
six or eight boys,
And no girls, and I just simply had the boys say what they wanted or needed from God, what they needed from God. And they were just sharing.
It's so good.
And I thought to myself, I said, this is what it's about. Mm. And if we can touch some kid and let them have the opportunity to share, let them have the opportunity to hear things that they may never hear in a church setting. I mean, how many church settings do you go to where they talk about apologetics?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a very complicated topic sometimes. Mm. And understandably, pastors are reluctant to get into it.
Yeah.
How many settings will you get to that they talk about evolution?
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated topic.
And now, wait a minute. You're a biology professor here.
Yeah, I teach this kind of stuff. And so, I've told you we're going to do this kind of thing in SCA. I'm going to... there's a video that's come out about God versus evolution, and it's put out by the same folks. Kirk Cameron is with Ray Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
They have put this out, and I think what I've heard, it's a very good thing. I'm trying to get it in myself, but we're going to try to look at that. So, you know, they may never see anything like this. And the church said it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we provide a need there. And plus these kids, they have needs just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And they need a place where they can go and share, and they say, hey, I want prayer.
Yeah.
I want God to help me.
Yeah.
And my goodness, that's what we're here for.
And it's not unusual for one of the students to come up to us in one of those meetings and tell us, share us a burden from their family, you know, someone that's very sick or someone that's dying or has died.
Right.
And
you and I both have had kids come up to us and we've prayed in the halls.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I've had kids come up to us and say, well, let's just pray right now.
Yeah.
And you've done that and
yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah.
And we've done it together with
yeah.
kids. And
yeah.
and that is something I think they need to see.
Yeah.
They need to see that God is there every day.
Yeah.
He's not just there on Sundays.
Yeah.
He's there every day.
That is so good. So good. That brings me to another thought. If you were going to counsel other Christian teachers, I mean, you and I are pretty involved with these kids and trying to help them grow closer to the Lord. Do you think there's a tendency for some Christian teachers to be a little bit afraid of that?
Well, yes. And I think the biggest thing you need to do in a situation like that is just to make a decision to start.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know everything. You're not going to be the person that has all the answers. You're not going to have all the words of wisdom. But you make a start. And just simply be obedient to start,
mm-hmm.
and then let God handle it. I mean, it's when I first came here, I had made a decision to start something like
yeah.
this, and I had actually seen it at Polk County. There was a friend of mine that did a Christian club down there, and I had never seen anything like that
yeah.
in a school. I thought, wow,
yeah.
this could be in a school, mm-hmm. and I was only at Polk County for 2 years, and so when I came here, I decided, hey, you know. We can have this here.
You started Teens for Christ, right?
I started Teens mm-hmm. for Christ. We have Bible studies in the mm-hmm. afternoon. And, you know, there are many times that there are not very many people showed up. But that was the start.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was no hugely wise person. Still am not. But
yeah. Many would beg to differ, but go ahead.
but just the fact of making a decision to start.
Yeah.
And then let what follows follow, and let God do His thing.
Do you think some teachers are intimidated maybe by the ACLU sometimes? Do you think they're afraid?
In the back of their minds, they may have that, but honestly, we don't deal with that kind of thing very much around here.
Yeah.
And it never gave me much pause to think about that.
Yeah.
The main thing is a lot of times where we get settled in a groove and we don't want to get outside the groove.
Yeah.
We don't want to change things.
Right.
And just starting something like this, just saying, God, yeah, I'll do it, but I really don't know what I'm doing. And that's scary. And you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And just listen to what God... Look, how... At that time, when I first came here, who could have ever imagined that you would come in and, and that Hollandhead would come in and Patton and all these people come in here.
And now God sent us Don Balcom. You know, he's excited to you.
We end up with all these Christian groups and clubs and prayer meeting here and and time of meeting together and around the flagpole and all this Veritas and, and Teens for Christ and FCA. And, you know, who would ever imagine that all that would come about? If you'd got us together when you came here and Chris and his guys together and said, okay, guys, this is what's going to be like in the future. We'd probably said, "Well, you're crazy. Yeah. What's wrong with you? This is not going to do it." But God has done this.
God's done it.
And all we've done is just, well, okay, that looks good, God. Let's do
whatever
that.
You want me to do, I'll do it. It's amazing how he's kept these doors open and given us these opportunities, too. It's really exciting.
It's the administrations that we've had have been very supportive. I give them credit for that.
Yes. Yeah. And again, there are some schools, I think, where the administrators are a little bit nervous about Christian clubs, and because they're afraid of lawsuits or something like that. But I've never had, I don't know if you have or not, but about, as far as Christian activity is concerned, I've never had a single student or parent complain about the way we do it here. You know, it's all voluntary. No, it's all.
I have not.
It's all just, you know, totally up never, to the students. So
never had anybody even say.
And I think as long as we're careful to be Christ-like in terms of the way we relate to all the students, I think people will pick up on that. You know, that's good. Now, how did you decide to become a teacher in the first place? How did that happen?
Well, when I was going through college, that was the furthest thing from my mind. Mm-hmm. My father was a teacher, and I did not want to become a teacher. And I was going to be a wildlife biologist, and so I went into master's work with that at Tennessee Tech, and that's what I was going to be. When I was at Tech, I was a graduate assistant, teaching assistant, and so I got into teaching labs and things like that, and you know, I discovered, hey, I like this. I like teaching. I like interacting with the students, and I like the teaching. And so, really, there were no wildlife biology jobs when I graduated in '76, and so I decided I would go ahead and, as a backup, take some education courses and get the things that I needed to be certified to be a teacher. And so the wildlife biology just kind of went in the background, and teaching became the most important thing. And so I got a job in it, in Sweetwater at TMI Academy in 1977. And have been in it, except for a few times when I've had my own business in landscaping and some things like that, so I've been in teaching ever since.
Wow. And I'm so glad the Lord put you there, because he's really used you through the years. There's no question about that. So if you have advice, I'm sure you counsel a lot of young students, but just the generic student who's just coming into high school, how would you counsel them? What would you tell a young student to, as far as what he needs to tune into, what he needs to be thinking about, what you would encourage him to consider? What would you tell the younger students?
I think first and foremost, if the student is a Christian, first of all, establish that.
Yeah.
And in second, I would, from just my own experience, I would suggest that they simply ask the Lord to lead them to people who are going to help them grow.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest things for a young Christian to experience is folks that are other Christians, and they're going to help them to grow.
Yeah.
And then let God show you, and just be willing to say yes to God.
Yeah.
Whether it's something that you really think of and agree with or whatever, say yes to God. And that's where I was, let him lead from there.
That's good. That's good counsel. Do you think there's a big problem of students who are genuine Christian students, but they feel a certain amount of pressure not to go to become involved in Christian groups because they feel like maybe the group they want to hang out with isn't part of that? Do you think that's much of an issue here?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I mean, teenagers are notoriously herd animals.
Yeah.
And they tend to go where the herd goes, and it's takes them out of their comfort zone to come to these Christian groups sometimes. And it's something they have to do that's not what we would consider a normal student activity. So, yes, now most definitely peer pressure is going to have a great deal to do with this.
There's a certain amount of courage, I guess, that a kid has to have over there in that cafeteria when we say it's time for FCA or Veritas, and they know that 95% of students are not going to move, and they're going to stand up, and everybody says, well, they're going to Veritas, or they're going to FCA or whatever.
Absolutely.
And it takes some courage. But I just love and admire so much the kids that God's given us who are courageous.
Absolutely.
And they stand up every time and come and they're just saying, I'm identified with Christ. I'm identified with these Christians. And
well, it's like one of the boys said this morning, he said, this is the way I like to start my week off.
Isn't it good? Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah. I love it. Well, those testimonies this morning, those prayer requests this morning, just wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, so good. Well, I'm sure, you know, you're old enough through the years. I'm not sure how much you want to talk about this, but I'm sure there have been some low times in your life as well as high times. And I'm curious to hear about both of them if you want to share some of the difficult times that God's brought you through and how that came about and what he did. Anything come to mind when I talk like this?
Well, there have been times when it, by my actions and by my decisions, by my things that I have done, that I have felt like I was not as close to the Lord as I was at other times.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you can't live on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
I know there are going to be times, but usually those times are a result of something that I have not done or something that I have done. There's always sin out there lurking to get us. And there are times when, you know, that people who are Christians simply don't follow the Lord as closely as what they did. And there have been times that, you know, you look at that and you say, well, how do I come back from that? Well, Jesus is always there.
Amen.
Ready to take us and take us where we are. And to lead us on.
Yeah.
And again, all we have to do is say yes and be obedient.
Yeah.
And then he will lead from there. Now there was a tremendous high time that I had one time that I think I've told you about. A friend of mine and I were having a little Bible study in my dorm room, and we were just praying, and God just touched us.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way that, and you know, you want to look at that and you want to say, well, wow, can't we do that today? Mm. Can't we do that right now?
Mm.
And I can't command the Holy Spirit. I can't command God to say, you know, do this, you know, make me feel this way. Does that mean that I was closer to God at that point? I don't know. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It felt good.
Yeah.
Do I want to have that feeling again? Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it one other time that I can remember, and actually a church setting.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't. You can't depend on your feelings in your relationship with God. And I have to say to myself, you know, I've got to do what God wants me to do every day.
Yeah. No.
And some days I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we all need to be honest enough to admit that there are some days, and I think kids appreciate the fact that we can say, you know, I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least that's the way I approach it.
Amen. I agree 100%. That's such good counsel. But there are times when you don't feel it. I think you're right. The Lord gives us those moments sometimes of spiritual highs, and it's all right to look back and be thankful and praise the Lord for those times, but realize that's not the way life normally is. And just recently, I've been struggling, thinking, boy, now we don't have homeroom, and this is more challenging and more difficult, and feeling frustrated, and it's not too unusual for me to go through that. And I know the Lord wants me just to keep praying, keep walking, keep letting Him work through me, and that's basically what you're counseling, I think, just no matter what. You got any thoughts about your future? How long you think you're going to teach? I mean, you're getting to be an old man.
In fact, last night at the volleyball game, they introduced me as the old geezer.
Yeah, well, you're in the club, brother. You've been there for a while.
I don't think of myself as, and I think I'm a lot like you, I don't think of myself as being ready for retirement right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when I'm coming into work, I think to myself, what if I got up every day and didn't have some purpose in my life, some thing to do? I think that'd be a miserable life.
I do too. Yeah.
And so I'll probably retire within the next probably 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know. I mean, if I go till I'm in my 70s, I have no problem with that. I mean, my father taught until he was nearly 70.
Wow.
And and he's a brilliant man. Mm. It is amazing. Mm. Mm-hmm. But I have no plan. I don't have any set date.
Yeah. That's good.
I have no set years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just I'll go as long as I can physically do it, yeah. and I enjoy it. And when it gets to the point where I don't enjoy it, or that the Lord wants me to do something else, then I hope I'm willing to do that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't think the Lord thinks much about retirement.
I mean, no, I don't either. I think it's a mistake to think that we should work to our retirement.
Yeah. He does change us sometimes. He says, okay, I'm through with you as a teacher now, but I want you to move over to this. As long as he gives us mental ability and health and strength and the ability to do things,
right.
I think we just need to stay in that battle, you know, just stay, just whatever it is. It may not be teaching forever.
There is a purpose for me being here.
Have you got any thoughts at all? Are you a writer? Do you think you might write someday? Have you ever thought about that?
I didn't know if I'd ever told you or not. I have written some.
Have you? Yeah.
I don't know. But I've never published it.
Yeah.
I've got some things that I've been writing.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing, you know, to write down some things through the years. And now that the Lord's given you a lot of experience and a lot of years and a lot of wisdom, and you've walked with Him a long time now, you know, put some things down in writing. And some of us,
nobody will want to read it.
Well, you might be surprised. But, you know, I mean, for example, you got grandkids,
right.
And someday they're going to want to get in on that kind of thing. I mean, that'd be a treasure to them, you know. So I encourage it, you know, anybody that might be a little older listening, or no matter what your age, really, write down some things for your grandkids, if nothing else.
Right.
But you never know who might wind up reading it and God using it. So,
you know. You never know.
They might want to try it. Well, Mitchell, thank you so much for sharing with us today. This has been a great experience for me, and I think people who listen will profit from it, your testimony will help them maybe grow strong in the Lord. And
that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters, if we can encourage some people to grow.
And this is definitely a good thing that you're doing, and I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm thrilled you were able to finally put it together. We've been trying to do this now for several weeks, and I'm so glad it finally happened. Why don't we have a word of prayer before we go, okay?
Absolutely.
Father, thank you so much for Mitchell Witt. I thank you for his testimony. I thank you for his life. I thank you for the way you've used him through the years to counsel me personally and many, many others who've gone through these rooms, these hallways, and these buildings. You have used him in so many lives, and we praise you for his life, and we thank you for the way you're still using him. And don't know what you've got in mind for his future, but I know you're going to keep using him. So I thank you for his life, his witness, his testimony, and the way he encourages so many kids. And I pray that you'd continue to draw the kids here, help the Christian kids realize that they have a treasure here that they can draw from and to take advantage of it. So use us, we pray, and bless this podcast. We pray you'd use it to touch lives. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.